Welcome to Our PBC Life, a safe place for all to tune in and enjoy. We hope that today's sermon inspires and encourages you. You can stay connected with us on our social media at MyPBCLife or through our website at pbclife.ca. Be blessed and enjoy.
Zeal for the Lord's house must consume us. The scripture comes from John chapter 2, verse 17, where the disciples remembered the prophecy from the scriptures, and it says this in the New NIV, "Zeal for your house will consume me." In the NLT, "Passion for God's house will consume me." He's not saying them or those or others. It's a personal identification. It's a personal message today. Zeal for God's house must consume us. And so my message today is harmony lessens quarrels. I didn't make this one up. It came second passage. I was amazed as I'm going through Corinthians and breaking down the messages that Paul, in chapter 1 of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 1, he begins from 1 to 4, and he talks about who he is, called of God, set apart by God. And then from 4 to 9, 1 to 3, then from 4 to 9, he talks about give God thanks, and everything give God thanks. Remember, you've got to thank God. Remember, everything you've got, the breath we have is from God. And he gives thanks, and then he switches, and he goes to 1 Corinthians 1, and then verse 10 to 17, he writes this straight from the Word of God. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 10 to 17, here it is. "I appeal to you, dear brothers and sisters, by the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ, to live in harmony with each other. Let there be no divisions in the church. Rather, be of one mind, united in thought and purpose. For some members of Chloe's household have told me about your quarrels. My dear brothers and sisters, some of you are saying, I'm a follower of Paul. Others are saying, I follow Apollos, or I follow Peter, or I only follow Christ. Or I follow only Christ. Verse 13, has Christ been divided into factions? Was I, Paul, crucified for you? Were any of you baptized in the name of Paul? Of course not. I thank God that I did not baptize any of you except Crispus and Gaius, for now no one can say that they were baptized in my name. Oh yes, I also baptized the household of Stephanas, but I don't remember baptizing anyone else. Verse 17, for Christ didn't send me to baptize, but to preach the good news, and not with clever speech, for fear that the cross of Christ would lose its power." Powerful passage coming right after a Thanksgiving passage, isn't it? So here in 2026, may I appeal to this church, online church, and the church globally. Let's grow together in spiritual matters. Let's help each other increase zeal for the Lord's house. Increase zeal for the Lord's house. As we see, our world is changing in minutes and seconds now, not even in years. And the house of the Lord must become stronger, strengthened by the power of His name, committed and convicted by the power of the Holy Spirit, committed only to the Lord Jesus Christ. So in this book of Corinthians, in this first book, this New Testament book of Corinthians is a major theological book. It allows us to understand the love of God for His church, which is His bride. It has some strange and very strong warnings, but it's another pivotal book to enjoy. And it's not a book of condemnation. It is a book of building up the church, which is the body of Christ, which is us who are children of the Most High God, because we make the church. The church is not the building. The people are the church. So Corinthians is our growth book of instruction, which guides the church into all truth and aids the church to keep unified under Christ until Jesus returns. The world is trembling. Nation leaders are trembling. But the church shouldn't be trembling at the same rate, for the Lord has prophesied everything that has come to pass. So this manual that we are reading and going through this year, it is not a complex manual. We fail to sometimes read the book of God, the word of God, the Bible. And that's why in December I encourage everyone, purchase a study Bible now, not later. Purchase a study Bible now, because things are shifting so rapidly that you will need to know that you understand what God is saying. And this remarkable epistle of the Apostle Paul, the Corinthians, it uncovers a number of teething problems. I'm calling them teething problems, which were present in the new church that Paul had recently planted in Corinth. Corinth was a major city, very cosmopolitan city. And Paul planted a church, and after he left, number of problems crept up in that church, which are considered teething issues. So here are some of those teething issues. The church, which was very progressive, cosmopolitan, and very advanced above other cities, there was a pride that had crept into the church that came out of their lifestyle from the world. And so that pride caused them to begin to be arrogant in their behavior amongst each other. And such arrogance led to discord. Pride created arrogance. Arrogance led to discord. Then there was a lot of sexual sin which was being tolerated in the church. And that's because Corinth was a very promiscuous city. And now the people were coming in not fully convicted and converted to the word of the Lord. So it was being accepted and tolerated by those who knew that the word of God stood in opposition to such sexual sins. There were civil lawsuits that had sprung up between disgruntled believers. And so there were believers who now were not honoring their word to each other, and so now lawsuits were coming in. It's very important as Christians that we honor our word to each other. And then the spirit of idolatry, which pervaded the city of Corinth. Remember, Corinth had many gods. And the spirit of idolatry took over the church. So a number of ethical difficulties came among the believers who were trying to worship God, but still trying to stay half in the world. So they were amalgamating the spirit of Corinth into the spirit of the church. And it created a lot of issues. Because see, idolatry is not just idols that people make and bow down to. It's also the worship of anything that is against God or anything that you put in front of God. For some people, money is above God. They got to make money. Church comes, God comes second. For some, success, it's who I am, not who he is. There's personal desires. I like this. I want this. I was so blessed during the week to see young families that kept coming out to prayer meeting at night for the 7 o'clock, which ends within an hour and 15 minutes. Young families with babies in strollers. Nothing blessed my heart more, because we come to the place where, honestly, friends, we're worshiping anything God gives us rather than letting everything become a worship unto God. And we must never worship anything so much that it takes a priority to our worship to God. And so idolatry had taken over, and now they were misdirected in their worship and in their allegiance, because if you begin to worship something else, your allegiance goes to that thing. So the spiritual gifts, the other teething issue, the spiritual gifts which God gave them, which was meant for their blessing, they were now wrongfully emphasizing how it should be used. Because see, pride will make you even take a spiritual gift and try to lord it over others. I'm better than you. I know more than you. And so there's just all of these teething issues. And then false teaching eroded the church concerning the resurrection. And that threatened to destroy the faith of many. And this was a new church, so it threatened the faith of the new believers. Friends, this is a very serious part that I should have taken as a whole passage and a whole message. That the false teaching about the resurrection eroded the church. See, if the church stops seeing that Jesus is coming soon, we begin to believe every and anything. And that's why there's so many churches now called churches that are doing anything they want and telling the congregation it's acceptable. But remember, the Bible says there will be harlots and hirelings, that those are people who are after the fame and the money and whatever it brings, but they're not committed to preaching and teaching the full doctrine of the gospel of Jesus Christ about his death and his resurrection, but more so too today, he's coming soon. So 1 Corinthians 1 tells us about God's church. And it says, it reminds us in this passage, the church is universal, where all believers are called to be holy, and there is no exclusivity amongst the believers, no superiority in the church, at least no superiority in the healthy church where God's presence abides. God's presence cannot come where there's superiority among brethren, because God has no superior children. The Corinthian church, Paul observed that super spirituality and pride had seeped in. And so the healthiness of the church was threatened, and he began to address it head on. Friends, folks, online, in-house, the biggest concern for us is the healthiness of the church, not the desire of people. Oh, online, please say amen in the chat, because they're very quiet in here. The priority of the church is its healthiness under the word of God, not the desire of other people. That's much better. They did okay since you chatted online. In the Corinth church, it was not becoming a sanctified place. And the church is to be a sanctified place where those who know Christ begin to grow in Christ, grow in the things of the Lord. But it's also a place where God's grace abides, and so sinners are welcomed. Because it's not a club, it's a church. And when we are not seeing people come in among us to be saved, I've got to ask, did we move to club mentality where we're so happy with each other? Week after week, I talk about the lobby, and I've been ignored for many years in its behavior that we're to be looking for new people, new faces, and welcoming, and remove the club out of the space where the newcomers can feel it and see it because we got acclimatized to it. It's the church is to be a sanctified place, but a welcoming place to all people that are on their way to meet God. Can I say that again? It's a sanctified house. What kind of house is this? It is a sanctified house. But it is a welcoming place for every person that's on their way to know about God. So sinners must come amongst us and find the way to repentance and learn what is the way to obtain salvation. And how do they know it best? They know it by our life. They know it by our love. They know it by our affirmation. They know it by the sweetness of our spirit. Not just the leaders that are picked, but every person reaching out, everyone touching someone. Everyone seeing somebody else, not just seeing the door or seeing a friend, but seeing somebody else that you will minister to today, because we all need ministry at some point in our lives. So therefore, we've got to understand that spiritual growth is a necessity. And to walk naturally into holiness is to understand the process of sanctification. I'm not going to preach on sanctification here because I'm sure Paul will bring it up later on in Corinthians. But just for you to know, suffice to know, there are three stages to sanctification. There's initial or positional sanctification. That's when someone just comes in to know the Lord and they're learning. And when you're learning, you make mistakes. When you're learning, you mess up a little bit because you're on your way to growth. And then there's progressive sanctification, that those who've been on the journey, you should never have parked and stayed where you are all your life. I got saved and that's it, I died right there. No, you've got to be progressively moving in growth and development. That's why we do these midweek Bible studies on Wednesday night. This year we're teaching the book of Ephesians by a powerful Bible teacher that you will never be able to tap into the way you're obtaining it here. and she will teach you minute by minute for the hour that she's on. The book of Ephesians, Wednesday nights. Prioritize your life to be able to learn more what the Word of God is saying. So you're strengthened. Thank you. And then their final is eternal sanctification. Eternal sanctification is when we see when Christ returns, when Christ comes. It's that great and glorious day that we're living for. Do you know many people have forgotten that we're living for eternal sanctification, that we go with Christ? Do you know people have gotten so accustomed to church, they forgot that there's a destination beyond? Anybody here want to go to heaven? Because that's my destination. It's not just now, it's forever. There's a lot of folks, and I see it in mega churches around the world. There are many that are going to run in, do God a moment, but they're not growing, they're not strengthening. And I'm not all mega church. There are some powerful mega churches, but I'll tell you, there are some that are growing fast numerically because they require nothing spiritually. Talk to me. Paul's exhortation for keeping the church strong is this. Here it is. Agree in speech. Allow no dissension. Disallow negative reports. Avoid contentious problems. Have no cliques and increase zeal for God's house. Now I want everyone to pull out your camera and take a picture of this. Because in 2026, you're going to agree in speech. I'm going to talk about it in a moment. Allow no dissension. Means no matter who comes to you with their pet peeve, you'll say, do you know what? Take it to Jesus. Disallow negative reports. Paul's going to touch on that here. Because there are folks who can give you a report and it sounds positive, but it really is negative against the church and the building up of the church, because it has no healing power in it. It just has a destructive power. Avoid contentious problems. If it's going to bring contention, say, do you know what? It's God's church and He will take care of it. Let's move on. Would you practice telling people? Move on. Move on. Have no cliques. Oh, I'm going to touch on that. But what we want is to increase zeal for God's house. Friends, any type of division in any church, online, in-house, any type of division in any church is one of the most serious problems any church can face. The smallest division can devastate the church's fellowship. It can destroy the church's worship. It can sabotage the church's mission. It can diminish the church's witness to the people outside. Who is the first affected by division and dissension? Who? The people outside. For they're not coming in to flow into what they can sense that they already know. Because the spirit of the world, they know. So when they come in and find it in the church, there's an identification. They're like, oh, this is no different. A strong exhortation Paul gives to the church here in this opening chapter, verse 10. He says, I appeal to you, dear brothers and sisters. Can I ask you, if Paul is addressing brothers and sisters, who's he addressing? The church, not the world. By the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ, live in harmony with each other. Let there be no divisions in the church. Rather, be of one mind, united in thought and purpose. So let me hasten here and say, when he starts off and says agree in speech, Paul is saying, come, let's come together, let's share together, let's talk the matter over with an earnest intent for a spiritual agreement towards the fundamental things that are right. I think one of the greatest challenges in church is if someone has an opinion, even if it's wrong, they don't want to subject it to the Word of God to say, what does the Word say in this matter, and why do we keep the Word as a higher priority than what we think? Agreement in speech does not mean that you have to divert from the Word of God, because spiritual people are positioned on the rightful understanding and deciphering and discerning of the Word of God. And so while even theological stands may differ, the clear Word of God is premier. So Jesus reminds the church in Luke, this is a Jesus passage now in Luke, In Luke 11, verse 17, it says, any kingdom divided against itself will be ruined, and a house divided against itself will fall. So how do we remain united in speech? We resort to the word of God. What does God's word say about this issue? Not what I think, not what my family feels, not what my friend feels, but what does the word of God declare? And we're going to stand on the word of God. Whenever someone, have you ever noticed that sometimes if someone is contentious and you begin to open the word and say, the Bible says, they're like, I don't want to hear the Bible. Have you ever had anyone? The minute someone does not want to hear what the word of God says, Paul says, walk away. Just move away. Leave it alone, because you're not going to convince them, because they're not following and heeding what God desires. They want everyone to heed what they desire. So the church today is not just the church for us, but it's on a slippery slope. We've said that for decades. The church is on a slippery slope. I think we've moved from a slippery slope to we're now spiraling in a landslide. Is anyone in agreement with that? We're in a landslide. But guess what, folks? When nations are being taken over and bombs are being threatened and countries are in disarray and wars are on every side, this is no time to be playing church. It's a time to be the church. Modernism says, whatever I say is my right, don't judge me. Whatever I demand is my desire, don't oppose me. But the word of God says, build the church on the truth, not on personal desires. And then I want to just share this. Never allow reports of contentions and quarrels. Paul talks about it. In the Corinthian church, had multiple reports of issues that had crept in, and the members were beginning to take side. And these issues were revolved around personalities, not about the Lord Jesus Christ, the Word of God. This was a collection of rumors, of gossip, of backbiting, contending, positioning, posturing, and Paul addresses it directly. And he even named the people who brought the reports to him. And the commentator says the reason he named them is the people who brought the report to him were not of the church. They were, they traced it, and they were traitors who were carrying the root, and they were the sellers, so everyone knew them. But they were not a part of Paul's church, because the church Paul built in Corinth had so much quarrels and contention that these business people, when they met up with Paul, they said, by the way, that church you left back there, full of quarrel, contention, trouble, backbiting, and everything, you better get back to Corinth. Folks, people in the world can see it faster because they live in it. Bible says in 1 Peter 3:10, if you want to enjoy life and see many happy days, keep your tongue from speaking evil and your lips from telling lies. That's what Peter says. And I want to remind us today that we are starting out a year preparing the church for a great revival. And that's why this message is important. I'm not picking anyone. If you're sitting there saying, pastor is preaching against me, you need to get over that. I'm preaching the word of God straight from the word of God, because it is the word of God, and we all need to grow in the word of God. Never allow that. And my other point here, don't divide the church, circumvent the problem. The church has rarely ever been divided from outside the walls. It has predominantly been divided from inside. And the issue is usually personal agenda, personal desire, personalized perspective, and we draw each other into the arena of our own issue instead of emphasizing what Ephesians 4:3 says, make every effort to keep yourself united in the Spirit, binding yourself together with peace. So if we are not very purposeful and cognizant of our own personal behavior in times when the church stands to be attacked from outside, if we allow the enemy to come in and use us, he doesn't need to use anyone outside. God is counting on the church to accomplish his will. Whoever you are, the newest saved, even if you have not given your heart to the Lord yet, you're here because you love God. So you're here to help build up the church, because you know what you don't want to go back to. You know what is not out there for you, so you're going to stand strong and help to build up the church. And here I go now. Every minute I said I'm on my last point, so let's try and get there. The last one is this: recognize the problem of cliques. Paul touches on it. And, you know, they say cliques are small-knit, tight groups, social groups, defined by shared interests and value. Cliques become exclusive, controlling who's in and who's out, who's focused and who's popular, who's been there and who hasn't been there. It provides a sense of belonging and fellowship, but it's centered on common activities. And unlike open groups, cliques often have silent rules, which generally exclude the outsider because they don't know the silent rule to get in. And even young people deal with this a lot. That's why I want the young people to know. Young people struggle with cliques in school. Nobody tells someone, they come in and you learn the rule and you stick with it. And so it excludes others, and it's controlled by those who have an expectation that you're going to conform to what they like best, and then we become the group that knows what this one likes best, and we stick with it. And it's from kindergarten right up to seniors. Cliques happen, and Paul said there should be no cliques in the church. He uses the last verse to speak to the church about the nature of cliques, and he says the church cannot have this. It's destructive. Why? Cliques strike at the person of Christ and his lordship. Cliques strike at the Christ on the cross and his crucifixion and his resurrection. Cliques strike at the witness of the believers. Why? A clique dethrones Christ because it sets up a person to rule in that atmosphere. A clique attempts the impossible. It tries to divide people by wanting people to be on this side rather than be a part of that side. A clique elevates people who want to be known and noticed. A clique makes a person, a human being, the one that others follow rather than everyone becoming a God follower. And so when people begin to follow or fall into cliques, they disassociate from truth, and ultimately they no longer understand truth or want to hear truth because their allegiance is to the clique rather than to Christ. Cliques do not belong in the church because every believer gives their allegiance to one. Who do you give your allegiance to? Who do you give your allegiance to? Online, who do you give your allegiance to? And friends, cliques are not a myth. They're a fact. That's why Paul points it out. And Paul begins to tell them, listen, some say they're for Apollos. Some say they're for, he continues here, and here it goes. He says, verse 12. Some of you are saying, I'm of Paul. I'm of Apollos. I'm of Peter. I only follow Christ. Do you see the factions? He says, is Christ divided? Paul says, let me tell you, I only baptized 3 or 4 people. I mean, now that I think about it, there's another one. I'm glad I didn't baptize more because I don't want you to follow me. I want you to follow Christ. Is Peter Christ? Peter did miracles, but Peter's not Christ. Follow Christ. And he emphasizes this, that if we're going to accomplish a sanctified walk with increased zeal for God's house, we need to remember we do not become human followers, we become Christ followers. And he took that part of Corinthians to point out that this is where the church of Corinth had gone. Can I tell you why this message is important today, PPC? That's where the world has gone. That's where the church has gone. Oh, I'm with this church, and I'm with this pastor, and I'm with this bishop, and I'm with this. And people are no longer sharing their growth in Christ. They're telling you how big and how fancy and how wonderful their bishop, and you don't measure up to this. And so there's a measuring of people, and Paul addresses it in 1 Corinthians. He's like, listen, we're followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our allegiance is only to the Lord Jesus Christ. Once you change your allegiance from Christ, you begin to be a part of a clique that's following a person rather than and a personality rather than following the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why so many will be led astray in the last days, and they will end up not knowing that they've drifted from the Word of God because they're following people. How are we going to live? We're going to live the Beatitudes. Matthew 5, verse 3 to 10. Would you read these with me? This is how we're going to live. Here we go. God blesses those who are poor and realize their need for Him, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. God blesses those who mourn, for they will be comforted. God blesses those who are humble, for they will inherit the whole earth. God blesses those who hunger and thirst for justice, for they will be satisfied. God blesses those who are, for they will be shown mercy. God blesses those whose hearts are pure, for they will see God. God blesses those who work for peace, for they will be called the children of God. God blesses those who are persecuted for doing right, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. And encourage the church globally, online church, in-house. We need to mourn in these days. Mourn for the sinful behavior of the church today. Don't accept it. Mourn it. Mourn for the lostness of souls and the lack of new salvation. Mourn that people don't want to come into the church. Mourn it. Mourn for the oppressed and the hurting who are not as privileged as you. And stop worshiping your privilege and instead mourn that others are not so privileged. Mourn for those living without hope and without God's peace. Thank God He gave you this. As Paul said in the first, thank God for this. But now mourn those who don't have this same hope and peace. Mourn for those who do not have a zeal for God and for God's word. Thank Him that you're able to buy Bibles, read Bibles, have your own, not persecuted, your family killed, your house burnt. Mourn for those who do not have the blessings that you have and the freedoms you have. Mourn for God's house to see purity and godliness. Every day we're seeing in media filth coming out of churches. And that destroys the foundation of God's church, which is global. Church is not just here, it's everywhere. So pray. We're going to pray in a moment for the purity of God's church. I want to ask this before. They're going to sing this for us in a moment, but I just feel I need to, before we go to that song, actually, I just feel this is the way I want to go in closing. I had a different thought in my mind, but God just put something in my spirit. I'm going to ask you, if your background is any of these churches, and I'm going to be missing some, I can't get them all, but if your background is any of these churches, you're going to stand, and we're going to pray for these different churches. We're going to pray for the church global, because this message is not PPC. Send it to all your friends, because we have to get into mourning. If the church global doesn't get its act together and be unified in purpose and thought and speech and agreement and love, the world is going to hell, and we think we're going to stand before God and justify it. It's the church global that God is concerned about, because the world is in anarchy. I'm going to call out a couple of churches. If that's your background, your parents' background, I want you to stand, because you're going to intercede for them as we pray. Anglican. Apostolic. Baptist. Brethren. Catholic. Charismatic. Church of God. Episcopal. Lutheran, Presbyterian, Methodist, Seventh-day Adventist. I have to do a few categories now. Non-denominational. Pentecostal. No church background. We're standing, those who stood for no church background, you're going to pray for people who have no church background. Those who stood for whatever you came from, God has brought you up through it. and kept you, and now you're worshiping here. But you need to be praying. I missed some, didn't I? I know I can't get them all. There's new emerging youth churches, and I'm praying for purity of the word so that they don't just follow personality like Hollywood. There's non-denominational, many non-denominational, and I'm praying that they stop following personality and they follow Christ. What am I missing? I'm missing a few of you. Reformed church. Anybody else? Of course, Salvation Army. God bless them. Anybody else? Nazarene. Orthodox. Jehovah Witness. Holiness churches. And whatever I'm missing. Muslims. How did I miss Mennonite? Or Mormons. Whatever your background, you're going to pray. Now I'm going to tell you, for Mormons, it's a cult. Muslims do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and the power of his Holy Spirit. So you're going to pray today for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And even where you came from, that the Spirit of the Lord will rest upon them. That the Spirit of the Lord will rest upon them. And if you're from a Mormon background, that the Spirit of the Lord will rescue people. If you're from a cult background, the Spirit of the Lord will rescue people. That's how we're closing today. Would you begin to pray right now? And online, would you begin to pray? Father, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I pray for the church globally. I pray, oh God, for the Anglican, Apostolic, Baptist, Brethren, Catholic, Charismatic, Church of God, non-denominational, Episcopal, Lutheran, Nazarene, Presbyterian, Mennonite, Methodist, Pentecostal, these new emerging churches built on personality. Oh God, they have a zeal for God, but they're misguided in having the whole body unified under Christ, not under a person. I pray for Seventh-day Adventists, oh God, for churches here in the GTA, for churches worldwide. I pray, oh God, for the Lord Jesus Christ, for your name to arise and for churches to begin to see that Christ is coming soon. And every person, my God, I pray, Lord Jesus, for the redeemed church of God. I pray, Lord God Almighty, every church that preaches Jesus Christ as Lord and coming King. God, let your spirit be poured out upon them in the name of Jesus. Let fire consume those churches, burn out the dross, and build up the kingdom of God so that we will not be one little church looking for revival, but the church globally will be poured out. The Assemblies of God America. I pray for the Assemblies of God America today in the name of Jesus. Visit pulpits. Oh God, burden the ministers for how they stand in their pulpit and cut the word of God so that the world will be healed, their nation will be healed, we all will be healed because we're under Christ. So Father, build your church, for this is a time, oh God, where we're seeing the Bible fulfilled and we need to see a revival in Jesus' name.
We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review it if you enjoyed. You can also help us reach others by investing in our church at ppclife.ca/give. Thank you again for joining us today at Our PPC Life.